Welcome to Tribe Talk, presented by Progressive, making it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Brought to you by Subway, where winners eat.
Everyone, welcome to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus along with you from Goodyear, Arizona, and Indian spring training is finally. We are here with the first of several shows from spring training. We'll be here throughout the spring, bringing you all the news and information that you need to get you ready for the 2015 season. But just great to see the team working out. They started the full squad workouts on Tuesday, and they're getting ready for the exhibition opener against the Reds this coming Tuesday, just a couple of days away, a game you can hear right here on the Indians Radio Network beginning at 3 p.m. Good show lined up for you today. We'll check in with Tribe General Manager Chris Antonetti, get his thoughts on the start of spring training. We will also visit with Indians starting pitcher T.J. House, one of many involved in an intense battle for a remaining spot in the starting rotation after a fine breakthrough season a year ago. We'll also hear from Indians outstanding catcher, Silver Slugger Award winner Yan Gomes. We'll check in with Terry Francona, get his thoughts on how that first week has gone at spring training and any breaking news from him as we head into those exhibition games that start on Tuesday. And Curtis Danberg will swing by. He'll talk about two great ticket promotions that the Indians are featuring this season, coinciding with the renovations in right field, the new right field district area, and a couple of ticket plans will be part of that. And we'll hear from Curtis with all the details. So a lot to get to today on Tribe Talk, and we'll get rolling after this timeout on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus along with you from the Indian Spring Training Complex in Goodyear, Arizona, where workouts began this past Tuesday. Games begin this coming Tuesday. And the man overseeing the roster once again is Chris Antonetti, the Indians Executive Vice President and General Manager. Already his fifth season in that role after taking over following the 2010 season for Mark Shapiro, who moved over to team president, focusing more on the business side as well as the baseball side. But Chris has done some nice work in building this roster, revamping the farm system, and that's starting to show now some shrewd acquisitions. And all of a sudden, the Indians have a young team. So much of it is under control, team control, not only for this year, but for several years to come. And when you look back at the past two seasons, the Indians, composite-wise, the last two seasons, regular season record, their composite record is fourth best in the American League. So a lot of optimism as we head into the 2015 season. And when we caught up with Chris earlier this week, in fact, on Tuesday, when workouts began for the full squad, he talked about the excitement and how ready he is to see this team take the field and get things rolling here in the spring.
I do. I get fired up for the first day coming out here and getting off the plane, and I get excited to see the pitchers throw their first bullpen and field ground balls and throw them over to first base, and this is another day in that progression. So to have the whole team together and get started as a group is it's always an exciting day.
And when you look at the offseason and now what you do here, I think a lot of fans may feel that once you get to spring training, that's it, that's your team. But how active are you now over the next couple of weeks and throughout the spring training period of searching to improve the ball club still?
Well, for the next couple of weeks, we'll be mostly focused on, you know, the guys that are here and, you know, our progress towards getting ready for the season. But once games start in March, we'll begin dialogue with other teams and as well as scouting, you know, other teams that are playing and then seeing if there are opportunities for us to improve. But that relationship and those conversations between teams really continue to happen throughout the course of the season.
concerns heading into spring training? If you can earmark it into one or two that kind of are on your radar as things develop, what would they be?
Just health. I think if we can get guys back healthy and back on the field playing the way they're capable of playing, I feel really good about the group of guys we have. We're going to have some tough decisions. I'm hopeful those tough decisions are decisions where we have a lot of good options from which to choose. And, you know, we may have to deliver some disappointing news to some guys. But, you know, those are the things that we're thinking about. And to the extent we have guys that are healthy and ready to go at the end of the season, we feel good about the group of guys we have.
Any one area that you feel really good about, or is that just not in your DNA when you run a ball club?
My job is to continue to look for ways to get better in every area and never be satisfied. So I really feel that we have a chance to have a balanced team, a team that has quality starting pitching, good bullpens that can close out leads, and an offense and position player club that's capable of putting up runs. And the thing we need to continue to improve, and we've spent a lot of time on this offseason, is our defense. And I know that Mike Sarbaugh and our coaches and Tito have spent a lot of time thinking about ways where once our position players get going, we can work with them to help them be in a better spot come the start of the season.
And we record this on the first official day of workouts, but just about the entire team has been here for a little bit. And I know that that's for a lot of clubs, but how encouraged have you been by the early arrivals and just that enthusiasm to get started?
It's one of the great things about returning so many players from last year is that these guys really have a sense of team already, and they were all chomping at the bit to get out here. We had almost our full roster out here a week ago already, despite them not really having to be here until yesterday. So it's exciting to have the group together. And one of the things we're organizationally most excited about is that this is a group that not only has a chance to be together for this year, but for the foreseeable future too. And that's an exciting thing to think about.
All right, Chris, enjoy the spring. Thanks.
Thanks, Rosie. As always, a pleasure.
That's Chris Antonetti, Indians Executive Vice President and General Manager, beginning his fifth season in that role, and a season of high expectations, to be sure. Stay with us when we return. We'll visit with the Indians' outstanding catcher, Silver Slugger Award winner from a season ago, talking about Yan Gomes. That's coming up next as we continue with Tribe Talk on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Tribe Talk continues from Goodyear, Arizona, Indian spring training. Jim Rosenhaus along with you, and great to be here in Arizona where the Tribe has begun its workouts. They started last Tuesday, and the exhibition slate begins this coming Tuesday. Tribe will take on the Reds at Goodyear Ballpark. That'll be a road game, actually, for the Indians in their home ballpark, but the first three games of the spring against their Ohio neighbors, the Cincinnati Reds, and they'll be on the road technically as the road team on Tuesday, a game that begins at 3:05, and you can hear it on the Indians Radio Network with coverage beginning at 3 p.m. We'll see if Yan Gomes is behind the plate in the exhibition opener, but you know that barring something unforeseen, he will be behind the plate most of the season for the Tribe, and why not? He's developed into one of the fine catchers in the American League. Last year, a Silver Slugger Award winner for best offensive player at his position, as he hit .278 with 21 home runs and 74 runs driven in. But that just scratches the surface on what Gomes means to this ball club, as behind the plate he has been just tremendous defensively, both blocking balls in the dirt, throwing out opposing base stealers, and really shutting down the running game for many teams that try to run on the Tribe. And he has done outstanding work handling the pitching staff. And when we visited with Yan earlier this week, he talked about that part of his game, handling the pitching staff, making sure that his pitchers and he are on the same page, and how specifically it translated into his relationship with Corey Kluber. He was a big part of Kluber's Cy Young Award season, and as a result, when it came time to go accept that award, Kluber invited Yan Gomes to go to the ceremony, the dinner in New York City this past January. Yan talked about what that meant to him.
Oh, man, it was a huge honor. You know, Corey's been really amazing. You know, ever since he's won the Cy Young, he's been, you know, we've talked a lot, and, you know, he's thanked me for a lot of it. And I'm like, man, you know, it's all you, dude. But, it, you know, going there and just seeing the type of ball players that were at this event, it was amazing. You know, seeing Sandy Koufax, Kyle Ripken, Willie Mays, and a lot of other players. It was an amazing event.
And you talk about that, and there's some players who don't really have an appreciation for the history of the game. You did not even grow up in this country, but mm-hmm. You obviously knew who you were around. And how did that develop for you? At what age where you knew who the greats of the game were and could really appreciate what they did?
I guess that day before the event. No, I think once you start playing the game and, you know, you start getting to a higher level, you start, you know, paying the respects for the guys that have, you know, have been in the same shoes as you. And, I mean, you look at a guy like Sandy Koufax. I mean, the guy was winning Cy Youngs left and right, you know. So just the scene, and then you get to see a guy like Clayton Kershaw doing the same now. And, you know, having those two out there, it was like the old great to the new great, you know. So it's definitely something to just learn to appreciate. And, I mean, those guys have so much knowledge of the game, and just trying to figure out a way to pick their brains and talk to them, you know, is definitely going to help my game.
And obviously you and Corey Kluber have figured out some great things to get through games and have success, and you've done it with other members of the pitching staff as well. How does that develop? What are the keys for you to make sure that happens as quickly as possible?
Spring training. It's really where we really get to learn a lot about each other. I try to go on the personal level right now, trying to really get to know, really get to understand them, and just to see how they think, and just mainly, you know, get comfortable with them, and then we can start talking about baseball.
When you look at your game, I know the first year you were here, you had moved around a little bit in the Blue Jays organization, mm-hmm. different positions, and then really locked in on catching here. What's the focus this spring? What do you look at in terms of improvement that you'd like to get done?
Just definitely tune up my defense. You know, it's definitely something that I mainly try to focus on. And, you know, we got a couple new pitchers and just getting to know them, you know, with Gavin Floyd. And then also just trying to figure out what's next, you know, like what we can do better for next year. You know, we ended up, you know, being two games away, or second to last game of the year is when we ended up being eliminated. You know, trying to figure out a way to not let that happen.
Offensively, sometimes spring training, there's just a ton of time spent in the cage, batting practice, all that kind of stuff. But I know you've said in the past, sometimes just worrying about your defense helps your offense. And how does that come into play?
It really does, man, because once, you know, hitting, you ask a lot of hitters, you know, when they were going well, you ask them what they were thinking, and they're like, man, I wasn't. You know, I think we're at a point where a lot of us know our swings by now, or at least know how to swing a bat. So mainly right now is just trying to get timing down and trying to, you know, focus and just seeing the pitches right now instead of, you know, trying to put so much work, because you don't want to. Now, my main thing right now is just trying to get into the season at 100% and not, you know, being beat up, trying to get too much work done in spring training.
Tribe catcher Jan Gomes joining us. And you mentioned that. How much of a balance is there in the spring between doing too much and making sure you get your rest and are ready?
I mean, this year is definitely the first year that I'm coming in more, you know, knowing what's ahead of me. You know, last year I didn't really know, you know, trying to get ready for a full season behind the plate. I didn't know what I was really getting myself into. This year, I definitely have an idea. So just trying to take it easy the first couple of weeks, and never, you know, 2 to 3 weeks come in from going into season. You know, I'm mainly, my main focus, you know, it's April 6th. Is that what it is?
Yeah,
there you go.
There you
April
go.
6th
nice.
Against Houston. You know, my main focus is be 100% going into that.
Off season's always enjoyable, and I know you had a newborn that kept you busy in the off season. Still fun though to get back here, see the guys, and really get after it again.
Oh, absolutely! You know, but what's awesome is my family gets to come with me. You know, my wife and daughter are here, so you know, I get to spend about 5 hours away from them when I come to the ballpark. But you know, this team is such an amazing team. It's such a family environment here that you do have a lot of fun, and you do miss these kind of guys during the off season.
Where do you think that comes from?
Definitely Tito. Yeah. You know, definitely our staff. You know, I've never been around a staff that's so relaxed and so, like, you know, letting us play and letting us have fun.
All right, Jan. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
That's Jan Gomes, Indians catcher, primed for another big season. One of the bright young catchers in the game today. Stay with us. When we return, we'll hear from T.J. House, one of several candidates battling for that fifth and final rotation spot, at least as it stands today, heading into the season. We'll hear from T.J. when we come back after this on the Indians Radio Network. Continues here at Indian Spring Training in Goodyear, Arizona. Jim Rosenhaus along with you this weekend. Great to have you with us, and believe me, I know it is awful weather-wise back home in Northeast Ohio, but hopefully some reports from spring training and good news here in terms of the Tribe will warm things up a little more quickly as we head closer to opening day, just about a month away, a little bit more than that, but not much. As we get closer to that opener, April the 10th, the home opener for the Tribe this season. That's a Friday afternoon with the Tigers in town to open up the home schedule for the Indians. Well, hoping to be a part of it, but in a heated battle for that final rotation spot, it appears, is left-hander T.J. House. When you look at that Indians' potential starting rotation, of course, you pencil in, you pen in ink, unremovable ink, the Cy Young Award winner, Corey Kluber. He'll be the opening day starter. It hasn't been announced officially yet, but certainly that will be the case. The hope is that Gavin Floyd is healthy, the free agent signee, and if so, Terry Francona has mentioned that he could work as high as that number two spot in the rotation, and then you figure Carlos Carrasco and Trevor Bauer have spots sewn up. So, what remains? T.J. House, Josh Tomlin, Danny Salazar, Zach McAllister, Bruce Chen, a minor league free agent signee, a lot of candidates for that fifth and final spot in the rotation. And House has put his name on that radar after an outstanding first major league season a year ago. Called up in mid-May, he made 18 starts for the Indians, a couple of trips back and forth to AAA Columbus in between, but finished with a record of 5-3 and a solid earned run average of 3.35. And he was at his best down the stretch when the Indians were in that pennant race in the second half. Rare were the games that House started where he did not get the game into the fifth or sixth inning with the game hanging in the balance, keeping his team in the game. So he did exactly what the Indians were looking for. And now the 25-year-old from Mississippi, looking to earn a rotation spot out of spring training, said the offseason this year, a little bit different because of the amount of work he had, especially at the major league level, but something that he'll take any day of the week.
You know, it was good. I definitely had a shorter period of time this year to get prepared for the season, just in the sense of I had to start throwing a little bit earlier and get myself started for spring training. But, you know, I'm glad to do it. I think it's a good position for myself to be in at the moment, so I have no qualms with it. But I think more on the standpoint is just trying to get myself right into the mental standpoint and just prepare myself mentally to come in here. And I'm going to have a battle for this spot and try to win me a chance to start the year in the big leagues.
And you mentioned that. And I know Terry Francona, Mickey Callaway, Chris Antonetti, they meet with all the pitchers. And what did they say to you heading into spring training? Well, what's there for you as you get started here?
I mean, we talked about the good. We talked about the what we can do better. We also discussed the fact that I can only play. That's the only job I have is to go out there and perform. And I know that I have to leave the business side up to them. And I trust them that they're going to make the right decision on the best five guys to go out there and try to win the games this season. And I just have to believe that that's going to be true.
It sounds like a cliche. You can only control what you can control. Easier said than done, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%. I mean, the hardest thing is just trying to take it and put it in the back of your mind and keep yourself focused on the game. You know, as they say, it is cliche, you can only control what you control, but I mean, I literally have no choice and decision on what this happens. The only choice I do have is to go out there and do well, and by them seeing that, they'll make a good decision.
Indians pitcher T.J. House joining us, a real nice breakthrough. Your first season in the major leagues last year. When did it click in for you that you belonged up here and could win consistently in the big leagues?
You know, I had struggled a little bit at first when I had got up there, and I had been going up and down. And, you know, that start on Kansas City on Sunday Night Baseball, I just remember, you know, normally I'm very nervous before games and antsy, and I'm ready to get out there, and I can just there was just a calm about it. I remember Masterson had talked to me before that, and he always told me that when you go into a packed house, just imagine it's just another day in spring training, and it's just you and the catcher. And I tried to take that into consideration when I was out there, and I had a blast. I just had so much fun, and I was relaxed, and I didn't really, you know, let all the outside factors in. And you know, that's something I had worked on a long time in my career. And by having that success, it just gave me a little bit of confidence to go, hey, you know, I can actually do this on a big stage, on a big game, and a big time in the season. And from then on, it just kind of rolled with it.
It took you a little while to get out of the low minors, but then once you got out of there, it seemed like it happened quickly. Mm-hmm. And did you look back at it at the end of the season and think, man, a lot of good things happened in a short period of time last season?
Oh, for sure. You know, I think sometimes in your careers you get in a little bit of a rut, or you get stuck and you don't quite know where to go. And that kind of happened to me when I was in the lower part. So, you know, when I finally figured it out, as they say, it was just kind of like a torpedo. I shot off, and, you know, last year I didn't even think I was going to be in the position I was at the end of the season. So it's fantastic. It's nice to know that all the hard work you put in, you're finally getting some payoff from it.
Everybody has probably certain standards that they work on in the off season to make sure they're ready for spring training. And I know part of your routine is swimming when you can, mm-hmm. because of your background. Tell us about that background in the pool and how it's helped you as you've gone along in your pro career.
Well, you know, when we were about 4 years old, my parents just threw me in the water and told me to learn how to swim. And, you know, I loved it from ever since then. And ever since I was 4 years old, I've been swimming competitively. And I think it's a great, you know, cardio exercise for me, and it strengthens a lot of things that running and stuff that's not due. So it helps me tremendously. I'm in the pool usually 5 times a week, so Monday through Friday, usually in there for 45 minutes to an hour and a half. And that's nothing compared to the other workouts that I do. That's just extra stuff that I feel like I need to do. And for me, it's kind of catapulted me a little bit more extended in my career. I only been swimming off-season-wise for the last 3 years. Before that, I didn't do it.
Do you ever try and keep it going during the season, or do you have to put it on the back burner?
Yeah, that's something you got to put on the back burner, because it is very taxing on your body and your shoulders and your forearms and your back, and I don't think that'd be a good workload to have with throwing every day and stuff like that. So I definitely back off. But as soon as the season's over with, I'm back in the water.
So as you get going here in spring training, you mentioned that the coaching staff talked to you about some things you need to work on. What do you feel that you need to get over that hump and be a part of this club again coming out of spring training?
Definitely more command of my breaking balls. And when I mean breaking balls, it's my slider, my curveball. I think that's just going to be the next step for me to kind of bring me to the next level in my career. I do well with my fastball and my changeup on both sides of the plate, but I have trouble with my slider and my curveball at times. And I think for me, that's the key. And obviously still continuing to keep the ball down, get a lot of ground balls, be in the strike zone. I mean, you need a lot of more components, but the main one for me is just making sure my breaking balls are in the zone on both sides of the plate, and that's what I've been working on.
Well, it should be quite a battle for some of those spots in spring training. TJ, thanks for coming by. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Thank you.
Awesome. That's TJ House, Indian starting pitcher, who seems primed and ready to make a good run at that fifth spot in the starting rotation. Indians look like they have some good depth in terms of candidates for the rotation, and you'll need them over the course of the season. We saw it last year. They went through quite a few starters, and certainly that seems to be the case with just about every team in baseball every season. Well, we hope you can stay with us. When we come back, we'll get the daily update from Terry Francona on the progress of the ball club after day 5 of workouts, with the exhibition opener just on the horizon Tuesday against the Reds. And we'll also hear from Curtis Danberg on some exciting ticket options that coincide with the renovations in right field. The new right field district will make its debut on opening day, and you'll have some great ways to get in the ballpark and enjoy that area of the ballpark. Curtis will fill us in when we come back after this on the Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk, our final segment on this weekend from Goodyear, Arizona. Jim Rosenhaus along with you. And if you'd like to join us on Twitter, you can do so. At Indians Radio is our Twitter address. That's at Indians Radio. Well, earlier this week, the Indians announced a couple of great ticket options that coincide with that new right field area, the right field district at Progressive Field. All the renovation work still continuing, even through this harsh winter weather.
We had a chance to catch up with Curtis Danberg, the Indians' Director of Communications, recently, and he talked about those ticket options and how they fit in with everything that's going on in the new section of the ballpark.
One of the goals of the renovation, obviously, was creating a lot more social space. So it was fun to announce that we're going to have a program called the District Ticket presented by Sports Time Ohio. And really, it's going to enable you to have a standing room only ticket for $13. And the first drink is on us. So again, $13 for all every game except for opening day will include a domestic beer, 12-ounce domestic beer for those that are 21 or older, a Pepsi or a bottle of water. And you'll have access to the standing room only ticket that you can use and float around the ballpark, and especially in the new bar area and the drink rail and social space that we've added.
And you mentioned standing room only, but there are places to sit down as long as those seats are open?
Yeah, that was one of the main things we learned in our research is people want to have more social interface, more space where they can just hang out and stand on a drink rail. And we've added that in front of the bar. We added it all along that right field district area. So it's a great opportunity to get in the ballpark, get your friends together for a fun night out. I mean, think about it, $13. You need to buy this online. There is limited availability, so you need to plan ahead. But get a group of friends together, get that ticket. You can basically, unless it's just on non-dollar dog night, you can get two hot dogs, a beer, and your access into the ball game for under $20.
Now, if you're a family, you have kids, you want to bring the kids out, a great option there, the new kids area. And maybe explain what that's going to look like first off in the renovated area. What's going on up there, and then how convenient will it be for kids to get in?
This whole project has been about targeting different fan segments and different fan groups and giving them different experiences. And so we've completely gutted the old kids clubhouse and have turned that whole area, that whole mezzanine level, is going to be branded the family deck. And that's going to be a family-friendly environment that's going to have a lot of interactives for toddlers all the way up to age 14. The kids clubhouse is going to have two stories with a slide going from level two to level one. Really just pretty much nothing like any other pro sports team has ever had. So very excited about that. So we announced the KeyBank Kids Ticket is a great value to allow kids to engage in those activities. April and May, it'll be $10. You can get two KeyBank Kids tickets for every paying adult. So again, $10. And then for games from June to the end of the season, it'll be $15. So, again, great value. You purchase those online, and those are, again, available for 80 of the 81 dates.
The home schedule starts on April the 10th, and you can buy season tickets right now. There's some other areas where you can get tickets to games. But for single games, there's a day coming up where that's going to be wide open now for the rest of the season.
Correct. On March 3rd, we're doing a special private online on sale for all our email register users. But if you're not registered to get emails from us, March 9th at 10 a.m. will be the next time that you will be able to click online and purchase your tickets for the single game tickets for the season. So a great opportunity. Again, before the season starts is the best time to get your tickets. Plan in advance. You're going to get the best location. You're going to get the best pricing before it starts to move dynamically as the season progresses.
And you've been out here in Goodyear for a little while. It sure seems like if you buy a ticket, you're going to see some pretty good baseball this year.
Yeah, I mean, we just talked about what's happening off the field, but the key ingredient to anything is what's happening on the field. And to see that the players come in the shape they were, to come in early, they're driven, they're fired up, and to be led by Terry Francona, I know they're poised to have a breakout season and build on the past two winning seasons we've had.
Great stuff. Thanks, Curtis.
You got it. Go Tribe.
That's Indians Director of Communications, Curtis Danberg. Well, we'll finish this week's show by checking in with Terry Francona, who met with the Cleveland media earlier today to talk about day five of full squad workouts. And here's the update from the Tribe manager.
You know what? Everybody, according to, you know, all the pitching coaches, everybody threw the ball and felt fine, and, you know, no comebackers that, you know, because most of the guys, I think, elected to not use the screen. And our hitters, you know, some chose to swing, some tracked, but, you know, no casualties there. But I thought it was a good day. The rain held off, so we could do it outside, which was nice.
A lot of the guys watching Carrasco said he looked it wasn't his first time.
Yeah, I heard Mickey came over and said it's like mid-season form. He's thrown a lot of bullpens. Like, everybody's different. I think he had thrown 12 before he got here, which is a lot. But, you know, everybody needs different to feel where they want to be, and but it, so he's pretty well prepared.
Did you hear any feedback on Bauer's session?
I watched him. He's good. I thought he was real good.
It'd be good for a kid like him knowing that he's kind of, he's got a spot and he doesn't really have to go too crazy and try and make the team right away.
You know, I think he, regardless of what you tell him, I mean, I think he has his own things that drive him every time he goes out. You know, hit different, maybe a different purpose every time, but something he's trying to strive for. I mean, I don't think he really picks up a ball very often without a goal. And sometimes I know he even charts it just because he wants to, just keeps him motivated to do the things he's aiming for.
If it were to rain tomorrow, I mean, do you have a contingency plan? Would they move to the indoor cage?
We would just move them to the indoor cage, and guys would track balls and not swing. That's a little, that gets a little dangerous.
Right. How much do you think with a guy like Tyler Holt helped him to get that major league experience last year, kind of going into this camp and even just going into the season ahead?
Well, first of all, I mean, where he came from. I mean, the season started in Double A, and he wasn't even starting. And then to get, you know, work his way into the lineup, then to go to Triple A and end up playing for us, I think it's a lot like other guys that are in that same position. They show up the next year, and they look a little stronger, you know, like they belong a little bit more. You see more confidence, and I think that definitely helps.
Does it help you guys, too, knowing that, you know, if the situation arose where you might have to go to a guy like that, that he has already been up there, he's already shown you something?
Yeah, I think that helps.
With a guy like Crockett, you've talked about an expanded role for him. What exactly is that? I mean, more leverage situations?
Well, that, but also, I mean, last year, you know, he got called up so early, so quick. I don't think by the time we got him, I don't think he had thrown back-to-back days as a professional. So now he's come to the major leagues, and you know, we kind of wanted to keep an eye on him and his workload, and you know, and we did. But as he matures and gets stronger, and you know, like right now I've thrown a two-seamer that he didn't before, and it's good. I think you'll see he's a guy that can throw full innings as opposed to just bringing him in for a lefty, because he'll be able to, you know, he's hard to run on. He feels his position. He throws strikes as good as anybody. So I just think he'll assume more responsibility the more time he has in the major leagues.
You seem pretty poised.
Very poised, probably as much as anybody you'll see. And again, you know, the more you know him, the trust, you know, begins to grow, and you'll let him maybe handle a situation that maybe we wouldn't have last year.
Saw Swish stepped in. Did Moss too?
I didn't see Mossy, but Swish hit. But again, Mossy might have been on another field.
Right.
But
okay. What'd you think of the type of swing Swish had against pitching for the first?
Actually, time? I was watching the pitchers. I really didn't even, right. You know.
What have you thought of his progression running wise?
I've tried to real hard not to kind of rate it day by day, because that's the last thing. That's not the right message we want to send. We told him at the, you know, the first day, hey, when you're ready, that's what we're going to go on. I know he's been really diligent with it, and when he's ready, he's ready.
He'll know. I mean, he's the guy.
We'll know. We get updates every day, but we'll know. And then, you know, the biggest hurdles probably, I mean, there's a lot of big hurdles, but once you think you're ready, you know, then you got to start playing the game. And that means changing directions without knowing you're going to change directions. That's the last big hurdle.
Do you even contemplate a chance that he could maybe not be ready for opening day?
I don't know. I don't know there's any reason to. I think it'll, his health will play, you know, his health will tell us how quickly he's ready to play.
Anybody ask you about Cuba? You ever been to Cuba? Yeah. When are we there?
How'd that come up?
We're talking to Tony Clark. We're talking about maybe playing some spring.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there in 1970. must have been the fall of 78, maybe 78 or 79, 78, maybe 79. They took a USA team over there, and I was led to believe that we were the first American group to go back since, and my dad, I know, was in the last group that played there, so that was pretty cool. I had a picture taken, I was probably 19, 20 years old, I had a picture taken reaching up and shaking Castro's hand, but it was such a bad picture, and I wanted it. I just, that was back a lot of years ago where they couldn't make it better, and I really wanted it.
Would you like to see teams go back, though? I mean, there's been such a long-time connection, baseball-wise, between the U.S.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool. I mean, my dad was there in, was it 56, somewhere in there, and he said it was almost, at the time, better than the major leagues. You know, four teams were in Havana, and he got, I think he won the MVP something, came home with a black Cadillac.
Really?
So that's not the winter ball I remember.
He's still driving to 56.
But I remember driving, we toured, we stayed in Havana, but we went all over the place. And, when you're 19 years old, you're not really that in tune with things. But I remember driving along the coast and seeing the gun emplacements up in the hills. And we had this guy, it's actually pretty cool. His name was Julio Blanco Herrera. And he was a scout for the Brewers at the time. And he was older. And we all loved him. He had been on all the USA trips, so we all knew him, and I loved him. So when we went back to Cuba, he was raised in Cuba. But more than that, he and Castro were, pretty tight. Like, they went to school together. And when Castro came into power, this guy, his family was like the Anheuser-Busch of Cuba. Like, big. And I guess the way he tells it, Castro came to his house. You have an hour. And he fled, but left his family there.
And that's Indians manager Terry Francona. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of Tribe Talk. Hey, hope you can tune in on Tuesday. That'll be our first radio broadcast of the spring, the exhibition opener, 3 o'clock airtime. And we'll have a first pitch for you, Indians and Reds, at 3:05. Tom Hamilton will have that first pitch for you as Hammy is here in spring training now, or at least on his way, and he'll be ready to roll for another season of Tribe Baseball on the radio. Should be a lot of fun, and we hope you can join us next week. I'll be here for another edition of Tribe Talk right here on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
Indian Fever. It starts from the this ball is way back there, way back there, way back, baby, bye-bye.
Swing and a long drive, deep right field.
A swing and a miss. Ball game.
Hey, 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 let's go Tribe. Hey, 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 let's go Tribe.
All right.
You've been listening to Tribe Talk, presented by Progressive, making it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Brought to you by Subway, where winners eat.